Jesus, the God, invites us here to his triumphal feast.
Welcome to the Triumphal Feast Podcast, a ministry of Elder Bryce Lowrance, speaking to you from Brentwood Hills Primitive Baptist Church in Fort Worth, Texas.
How can I glorify him when my boss is cruel? How can I glorify him when my body hurts? If you're asking that question, then you got a good start. You've already gotten past yourself into saying, how can I keep glorifying God?
Melting words he says to every humble ear.
I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. He says, I want you to present yourselves a living sacrifice. When an animal is sacrificed, do they just chop off a foot? When an animal is sacrificed, do they just chop off an ear? What's offered up? Everything. So what is Paul saying? What is a living sacrifice? An hour and a half on Sunday morning, or for some of us, 35 minutes? That's a portion of an ear. That may be a pinky toe. No, a living sacrifice means our whole life. Well, what does that look like? Does that mean that we all need to become monks and go to a monastery and never do anything other than read the Bible and pray? No, the Lord has never called a single individual to do that. The Lord has called us to not be of the world while we're living in the world. He has told us to present our bodies a living sacrifice as we live in this cruel world. Jesus in Luke chapter 10 and a couple of other places in the Gospels, when he's challenged and the individual says, what is the law? Jesus says it boils down to these two. What were the two? To love the Lord thy God with what? All thy heart, mind, soul, and strength. And what? To love your neighbor as yourself. You know what? When people think religion is too difficult, Jesus boiled it down to a single sentence. That's Christianity. That's being thankful for the Lord. Devoting to the Lord those four things. In Matthew chapter 5, we learn in the Beatitudes, blessed are the pure in heart. Why? For they shall see God. Okay? Being all in is a heart thing. What it looks like is, what is your heart set upon? If your heart is set upon Star Wars action figures like it was when I was a little kid, then your focus all of the time is, when can I play with my action figures? How can I get more of my action figures? And nobody better take my action figures. But if your heart is set upon the Lord, it is, how can I learn more about him? How can I glorify him while I'm doing my English assignment that I hate? How can I glorify him while I'm punching in the 1,000th line of code that somebody else messed up? How can I glorify him when my boss is cruel? How can I glorify him when my body hurts? If you're asking that question, then you got a good start. You've already gotten past yourself and it's saying, how can I keep glorifying God? It's a heart thing. By example, I want to look at two people in scriptures so we can see what this heart thing looks like. The first one, both of them are kings in Judah. One of them's David. We're going to look at him second. The first one we're going to look at, though, is a king that we may not know his name very much. It's Amaziah. There's a record of Amaziah in 2 Kings 14 and in 2 Chronicles chapter 25. That's where I'm going to go. It's the 2 Chronicles chapter 25, if you'd like to turn there with me. Let's look at the account of Amaziah. Amaziah was 25 years old when he began to reign. And he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Jehoaddan of Jerusalem. Okay? Now, that was some details to put in the lineage so we know who it was, who exactly we're talking about. Now let's look at the heart of King Amaziah. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. You ever seen the list of the good kings and the bad kings of Judah and Israel? Okay. Where would Amaziah fall? He did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. Where would he fall? He's going to be on the good list. Okay. This guy is a child of God. He did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, but not with a perfect heart. His focus was not on the Lord all the time. Here's a quick synopsis of the reign of Amaziah. There were some folks outside of Judah. Now, Judah and Israel were divided at the time. This is during the divided years of the kingdom. There were some folks that were not the Israelites that were their enemies. And so Amaziah numbers Judah and finds 300,000 soldiers that are able to go to war. That's a pretty good size army even by today's standards. And he thinks, well, this is not enough though, so I'm going to make a deal with Israel, and Israel's going to send me 100,000 soldiers, and I'm going to pay them silver for that. The Lord's not happy that he's using Israel because Israel's not doing the right thing at the time. See, he didn't consult the Lord, but the Lord sends a prophet to him and says, no, don't go to battle this way. The prophet tells him, don't go to battle this way. Send them back home. Amaziah, you know what his first question was? Well, what about all that money I gave him? There's something right there. His heart's not in the right place all the time. The prophet says, you know what? The Lord is able to give you that and even more. Don't worry about the money. So he sends them away. They go to battle. And boy, they win. They kill 10,000 of the enemy and take 10,000 more captive. They're sitting on the mountaintop because they have done this great victory. These 100,000 soldiers out of the northern tribes of Israel, they didn't get to take part in that, so they get mad. You know what they do? They go and they attack Jerusalem while this army's out of town. They're mad. They're jealous of that glory. So Amaziah sees what happens, and he sends a letter to the king of Israel saying, let us meet face to face. He's not talking about having diplomatic negotiations. Okay? He's not talking about sitting down and signing a peace treaty. In the Bible, when it says that they could meet face to face, he said, we're going to meet on the field of battle. As they put it in Star Wars, aggressive negotiations. You know, negotiations with a lightsaber. They're going to fight. Let's look at this king's response. Now the Lord took away some wisdom from Amaziah because he had gotten proud and decided that he had done this all on his own. He sends a prophet to him in verse 16, and it came to pass as he talked with him that the king said unto him, art thou made the king's counsel? Meaning, I didn't make you my counselor. Why are you talking to me? Forbear. Why shouldest thou be smitten? He's saying, basically, shut up, or I'm going to have you killed, is what he tells this prophet of God. He said, wow, that's pretty arrogant. Well, how many times has a preacher told you to do something that was right? You made fun of him, you mocked, and you went away, and 20 years later you realize, oh man, I wish I had listened to him. I wish I had listened to what he said. Amaziah is about to wish that. So the prophet forbear and said, I know that God hath determined to destroy thee because thou hast done this and hast not hearkened unto my counsel. He said, God's going to destroy you. And I know this because you didn't listen to him. Then Amaziah, king of Judah, took advice from the counselors that were around him. You know, those friends that you have that try to make you feel good and tell you bad things. Don't take advice from just your friends. Take wise advice. He said, come, let us meet face to face. This is some bad advice. And Joash, king of Israel, sent to Amaziah, king of Judah, saying, the thistle that was in Lebanon sent to the cedar that was in Lebanon, saying, give thy daughter to my son to wife. And there passed by a wild beast that was in Lebanon and trode down the thistle. He said, Amaziah, you're a thistle. You're a little shrub. And I'm a cedar. And I'm going to squish you. They met face to face. What do you think happened? Amaziah got trodden down. We have not been given the spirit of fear and bondage. We have been given the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. But brethren, when we seek our own, when we're not all in for the Lord, that spirit of fear and bondage comes back into our lives. Amaziah's life ended this way. Remember, this is a good king. This is a child of God. This is the one that did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. But he took his focus off of the Lord. And when his army was being defeated, how do you think he felt? How many of his army was most likely taken in bondage? And then at the end of his life, I'll give you some homework, read the rest of the chapter. There were people that were trying to kill him. And they did. There were people after him. If you know somebody's after you to hurt you, what does that make you feel like? Fear. He chose the spirit of fear and bondage over the spirit of life and liberty that God had given him. He wasn't all in for the Lord. He did some good things. Well, I go to church on Sunday. I read my Bible a couple of times a year. You know, I'm thankful that we don't have many CEO Christians here at Brentwood Hills. You know, Christmas and Easter only. Take a second, CEO Christian. Okay, Christmas and Easter only. But how many of us, though, do our Bibles meet us in the pew? How many of us, when we open up the Old Testament, do that gilded edges still stick together? So, Bryce, that stuff's hard to understand. You know what? I agree with you. You got to read. But to understand the God of all glory, if he was that easy to understand, does he deserve your praise? No. And it's really not that difficult if you take the time and do what I teach my students, divide and conquer. Pick a chapter. Read it over and over and over again. I can tell you I've read these chapters in Chronicles lots of times. But only this week did I sit down and try and pick out some details of the life of this king, because his heart was not all in it. He wasn't all in for the Lord. Now, I got to hurry along. I want to talk about David. We all know who King David is now, don't we? Okay? David was a boy and killed Goliath when he was about 14 years old. David cried out before that time that the Lord had delivered into his hand the bear and the lion. And who is this Philistine? The Lord's going to deliver him into my hand also. Notice who he's given credit to even as a boy. In the book of Acts, David is described as a man after God's what? Own heart. Okay? Amaziah didn't have a perfect heart. David was focused on the Lord. So, well, Brother Bryce, David made some mistakes. Yes, he did. That doesn't mean, though, that he wasn't all in for the Lord. He made some mistakes. Most notably was the mistake with Bathsheba and Uriah. But we have Psalm 51 to help us understand how David viewed that. He didn't say, well, yeah, Nathan, you caught me. So what? This is what I want to do. I'm going to continue on in it anyway. He writes Psalm 51 and says, Lord, against thee and thee only have I sinned. He gets to the point of saying, create in me a clean heart, O God. He says, Lord, I have messed up this heart that was all in for you. I've messed it up. Can I have a do-over? Can you make me feel like I once did before? Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation and uphold me with thy free spirit. Lord, can we do that again? I miss being all in for you. What do you think happened after that? David's all in again. Victory after victory over the men of Saul that were sent to kill him. Victory over victory against the Philistines. But that was a time, and this is recorded in 2 Samuel. If you're in 2 Chronicles, you're going to back up in your Bible to 2 Samuel. And I'm interested in chapter 6. Even in this example that I'm going to give you, David didn't do exactly the right thing. The Lord instructed that the ark is to be carried by the priests. David didn't do that here. And so it causes some problems. But I want you to look at how David's all in for the Lord here. Again, David gathered together all the chosen men of Israel, 30,000. And David arose and went with the people that were with him from Baali of Judah to bring up from thence the ark of God, whose name is called by the name of the Lord of hosts, that dwelleth between the cherubims. And they set the ark of God on a new cart, upon a new cart, and brought it out of the house of Abinadab that was in Gibeah. And Uzzah and Ahio, the sons of Abinadab, drave the new cart. And they brought it out of the house of Abinadab, which was at Gibeah, accompanying the ark of God. And Ahio went before the ark, and David and all the house of Israel played before the Lord on all manner of instruments made of fir wood, even on harps and on psalteries and on timbrels and on cornets and on cymbals. David, if we read on, we're going to have an account. He didn't care one bit about how anybody saw him at that point. He was so excited that they had gotten the ark back that he was all in, and he is dancing on the way back to Jerusalem. Dancing in the streets, taking off the robes of the prince and dancing like a commoner. You know, Saul's daughter, she didn't like that very much. Down in verse 20, then David returned to bless his household. And Michal, the daughter of Saul, came out to meet David and said, how glorious was the king of Israel today, who uncovered himself today in the eyes of the handmaids of his servants as one of the vain fellows shamelessly uncovereth himself. This doesn't mean he was running around naked. This means he took off the kingly robes that he had on. And David said unto Michal, it was before the Lord which chose me before thy father. Your father may have chose me, but God chose me long before that, and before all his house, to appoint me ruler over the people of the Lord, over Israel. Therefore will I play before the Lord. So God chose me before he chose Saul to be king. Therefore will I play. You know what? The life of a child of God that's all in ought to look like you're playing. There should be so much joy in your life that people think you're playing. When I try to do the right things and I'm in front of a choir or at a singing school, I go back and some of the students have posted video on YouTube and I look weird. But I'm playing before the Lord and I really don't care. I can laugh at myself. Notice what David continues on to say though. And I will yet be more vile than thus. He said, I'm vile in your eyes right now, just wait. And will be base in mine own sight, and of the maidservants which thou hast spoken of them shall I be had in honor. David says, you ain't seen nothing yet. Brethren, when you go all in for the Lord, you've got to stop worrying about what other people think. Don't we tell that to our children all the time? It doesn't matter what somebody else thinks of you, but then all of a sudden we don't do things because we're worried about how it looks to other people. Brethren, if you're all in for the Lord, be all in. Now, David made a mistake in not having the ark carried properly, fell over, and some fellows died. But his heart was in it for the Lord. And what people thought on the outside was more like what David looked like. And at that point, David, I don't care what I look like. I heard Elder John Melvin say this, but I've also read it in some other places. It's not our intentions, but our direction that determines our destination. Well, I intended to go to church, but no. Well, I intended to help that person out, but no. It is not our intentions. It's our direction. It's what we do with that heart. God has given you that pure heart. Are you going to use it and bring about good destinations? So my question to you is, and I got to really hurry now. Are you all in for the Lord? You ought to be. You know why? Paul says it is your reasonable service. Okay, if I went down to a car lot, Brother Paul, Sister Jacqueline were just shopping for a car. If y'all went to a car lot and there was a Yugo or a Ford Pinto sitting there on that lot that said $30,000 on it, you would say that's an unreasonable price. That car is not worth that kind of money. That is illogical that I would pay $30,000 for a Ford Pinto. That's what the Greek word is there for reasonable. Logical. What Paul is saying is because of what who God is and what He has done for you, it's only logical that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. It is illogical. Okay, I'm going to go into Spock mode here for a second. Okay? It is illogical. It doesn't make sense to do anything else. Because broad is that road that leads to destruction. It only makes sense. The only logical thing to do, if you believe that Jesus Christ died for you, is to give your life wholly to Him. Repent of the things of the past. And it's not a show of religion. Jesus teaches a parable over Matthew chapter 21, and I'm just going to paraphrase this one for you so we can get done. There was a Lord that said to His servants, I need you to do something for me while I'm gone. One of them said, yes, Lord, I'll do it. Then he didn't do it. The other one said, no, Lord, I'm not going to do it. But then after time, he realizes he needed to do it, and he went and did it. Which one was just? When the Lord came back, which one was he pleased with? The one that said, yeah, I'll do it, and then didn't do it? Or the one that got it done? The Lord is not interested in just your hearing. Remember what I said last week? It's not the hearers, but the doers. That's giving glory to the Lord. Because broad is the way that leads to destruction. Amaziah, he went the way of his friends, destroyed his life. David chose the narrow way and got made fun of. There is no third option, by the way. Jesus says you can't serve two masters. You're going to love one and hate the other, period. So, Brother Bryce, I'm doing a pretty good job of riding the fence right now. You can try and fool me all day long, and you might. But the Lord said you can't serve two masters. So if you're not all in for the Lord, who are you all in for? Yourself. We're into pleasing ourselves. 100% is what the Lord is calling on us to do. And He's not telling us, I don't think, to come up with some new ministry idea. It may be that there is something that we need to do in our community. But I don't think He's telling us we need to start up a new ministry and call it the Bryce Lawrence Ministries and put it on the television. That's not what the Lord calls on His people to do. Here's what the Lord calls on His people to do. Simple, everyday devotion. If you're faithful in the little things, you're faithful in much. Okay? If we're not faithful in the little things, we're not going to be faithful in much. But Jesus says, if you are faithful, if you do these little things every day, you're faithful in a lot. You've done a marvelous thing. We were watching The Hobbit the other day. There's a conversation about the coming doom. And Gandalf speaks. He says, Saruman believes it is only great power that can hold evil in check. But that is not what I have found. I find it is the small, everyday deeds of ordinary folk that keep the darkness at bay. Small acts of kindness and love. Who wrote The Hobbit and The Lord of the Rings? J.R.R. Tolkien. He's a good Christian man. Where do you think he got that? Love thy neighbor as thyself. Build the biggest army that you can find and destroy all the enemies of God? No. Love your neighbor as yourself, and that will keep the evil at bay. What's the matter with our country? It's not our military strength. What's the matter of our country? I'm going to tell you this morning, it's not our public education. What's the matter with our country? I'm telling you, it's not our government. What's the matter with our country is we're not doing the small and simple things that small and simple folk ought to do every single day. It's our responsibility to keep the enemy at bay. You say, well, Brother Bryce, I've made mistakes and I don't always give 100%. Well, what about right now? Why not give 100% now? You say, well, yesterday I did this. Paul said, forget those things which are behind and press on. So you haven't done this before. So what? That's the past. Choose you this day whom you will serve. You might say, well, I'm not David or I'm not Paul. I'm not like Daniel. I can't go into a lion's den. You got a lot of football fans in here. What good is a quarterback without a line to block for him or a receiver to catch his pass? You got the best quarterback in the world and no other team, and he's no good at all. You might be between the ages of 5 and 7. What can you do? How can I be all in for the Lord? Well, pray. Obey your parents and the Lord, for this is right. And that means clean your room. Maybe a preteen, 13 years old, 14 years old. Pray. Help the younger ones to obey mom and dad and clean your room. And do your best in school as glory unto the Lord. You might be a teenager. Why not be a leader in the good direction this year? Rather than going the way of the world just like everybody else did. Why not be the David? Yeah, they might make fun of you. But didn't David live a blessed life with the Lord? You might be a parent of a teenager. I'm going to be praying for you. And you better be praying yourself because I am too. Might be a college student or new in the workforce. Set standards right now. And get used to following those standards because you're going to be challenged later to work a 60 or 70 hour week all of the time. And you cannot raise a family being gone that much. Period. Set standards now. Set the standard of studying your Bible. Young families that are stretched thin, pray. Be kind. Help others like you. Make church and family your priority. Because church and family are going to help you. And it's really easy if your family's in your church. Maybe my body doesn't work like it used to. Well, your mind does. Pray. Pray. Say, well, I can't always remember what I need to pray. Say, Lord, I can't remember what I'm supposed to pray. Can you help me remember who I need to pray for? A career person. Serve your boss as if he is the Lord. Okay? If he tells you to do something that's contrary to Scripture, you're not required to do that. But other than that, even if you don't like the menial little things, make it services unto the Lord. So, Brother Bryce, I'm retired. I'm not very useful anymore. Well, pray. You got more time to pray than anybody does. Pray. And help those young families that are just getting by. Help them. Help them with, I did say I don't want to talk about money, so help them with your time. Spend some time with them. Invite them over for dinner. Fellowship with them. Go to church even more, but be back here on Sunday. Man, if I was retired, you know the number of church meetings that I would go to during the week? I got someplace I can go just about every day of the week, all year long. That's what I would want to do as a retiree. You may have lived a long life. And you think, well, there's nothing left for me to do. You know what? You lived a long life of prayer. I need your prayers. Your prayers have proven to work. And this church needs them, and I need them. Invite folks over to your house and share some of that prayer wisdom with them. Share how God has blessed you in your life. What am I saying? We have reason to be all in for the Lord. He's the King of creation and He is our Redeemer. What does all in for the Lord look like? It means we don't care what the world looks like. We're going to play before the Lord. Wouldn't you like to have a life of playing? I got to tell you a quick little story. I struggled with what my schedule is going to look like in school this year because they created a class that I still don't have any idea what it looks like. It looks really weird to me. And I'm not at the middle school as much as I wanted to be. And I went to the middle school principal and I told her, I said, Ms. Harmon, look, they made it where I'm not here that much. And so I'm basically giving this over to him. And she said, and you're just going to come here and play every once in a while, aren't you? And I said, yes, I am. She said, good. What we need to show our children is that it is fun and it is joyful to serve the Lord. It's exciting and it lasts. What we need is younger folks, show your parents that it's a joyful thing to serve the Lord. And it's fun and it's exciting. Met a young lady at singing schools this summer. She just joined the church and she is excited. She just went to college. She's excited, but she's more excited about the church. She went to every singing school. She was up in North Carolina. She lives in West Palm Beach, Florida. Saw her in Alabama. Any singing school she could find, whenever there was the Lord's people meeting to sing, oh, she was there. She said, you know what? My home church, sometimes they tell me to calm down. I said, you tell them to shut up. I said, find a nice way to say that. But don't you ever calm down. Fire some of them up. Because that's what it is to be all in for the Lord. So I'm more of a stoic. I'm changing your homework assignment if you think stoicism is okay. Paul dealt with the stoics. Read about them. They weren't good folks. Passion. The Lord wants your passion. And I'm going to close this out because I said I want you to be all in for the Lord. I think we need to be all in for the Lord. Don't hedge your bet. Okay? You ever heard of a hedge fund? That is where you spread your money around in investments so that if one goes bad, another one's going to go good. What happened to hedge funds even a few years ago when the stock market crashed? It all went down. Don't put your money and your... I'm using the example of money, so I'm allowed to say that word money right there. Don't trust your life with a hedge fund. Meaning, don't try to hold the Lord in one hand and the world in the other, thinking, well, if the Lord doesn't put forth, then I'll get what I need from over here. You believe in a lie. I need you to be like Paul. The Lord wants you to be like Paul. Who said this? I know that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. I know that it is not pointless. I know that it is not fruitless. I know that he is able to deliver me and that he will deliver me. I know by experience, Paul is saying, that to be all in for the Lord brings no shame, no disappointment. And so what I say is, be all in today.
Victorious God, what can we pray for?
We hope this edition of Triumphal Feast has been a blessing to you, and we have encouraged you to devote your life to Christ and be all in for the Lord. Be sure to subscribe to our podcast on iTunes or visit our home church website at bhpbc.org.